Father, we're so grateful for another privilege, another opportunity to assemble together to come and share your word. Lord, as we go into the word, we enter in with reverence. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. I also pray that, Lord, you'll put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all that will hear me, those who are physically here present, and indeed those who will hear me remotely electronically, so that your word will flow freely, Father, from you, through me, to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, in particular, to cause all our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I also pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in great and sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and release in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. Also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer, in their own individual lives, all individually agreed and said, we're going to continue our study this morning in the book of Romans. We've been studying, and I believe today we'll probably finish it, but we'll see how the Holy Spirit helps us. And this last chapter of Romans is a very interesting and inspiring chapter, because Paul takes one whole chapter just to say thank you to the saints, both in Rome as well as to the saints that were with him as he wrote this wonderful epistle. You know, I've said it so many times. What would we do without Romans? What would we do without Hebrews? You know, all books are important, don't misunderstand me, but these books in particular are very strategic because they contain information that if they were not there, some of the other things will not be able to connect them. So it's such a privilege to be able to come and study this. I was sharing with some people recently, I think some of the pastors and one or two friends, and the fact that we have to understand, you know, God's purposes for each generation. You know, in recent times, it has become clearer to me that God, the purpose of the New Testament church was to give us the New Testament revelation. And that was why they could not finish the work that we are going to finish, our generation. Because, you know, in their own time, there was limited scientific knowledge. I think I said this on Wednesday. Not only that, there was limited geographical knowledge. Jesus' mandate was to go to the whole world. They didn't know the whole world at that time, you know. And their knowledge of natural things, you know, was limited. It wasn't until thousands of years later that the law of scientific knowledge, you know, our scientific knowledge really started in what is known as the Renaissance, which began about, you know, 1300 with Galileo, and then later on Kepler, and then later on Isaac Newton, you know, before. And there's so many things you can't understand in the Bible, properly understand, if you don't have some background natural knowledge. The Bible says that the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. In other words, if you don't understand what has been made, there are certain things you cannot understand about spiritual things. In particular, I use this example, you know, about spiritual things and electromagnetic waves. Electromagnetic waves were just discovered, just slightly over 100 years ago. You know, they were there, but nobody knew about them, you know, and how to generate them. Radio waves became a reality in about 1900, 1901. And it's without understanding, you can now understand spiritual things, because those waves move at the speed of light. They are invisible, but they're real, because you can hear the sound that comes out of a television or radio without anything apparently connected to it. It looks magical. You know, today we take it for granted because, you know, we're so used to it. But it's a very good illustration of understanding spiritual things. So you can understand the invisible God that is inside you, and you're speaking in tongues, just like you can understand a radio. You can't see the wave, but you can hear. Yeah, and so you know that the wave is entering the radio. In the same way, you can't see the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, but you know it is there because of the tongues that you speak that you can hear. So, you know, there was a limited knowledge that was available at that time. And so their mandate was actually to give us the New Testament revelation, which we have from the four Gospels, and then the Acts of the Apostles, and then what we call the Pauline Revelation, and then what we call the Perfection Epistles, James, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd and 3rd John, Jude, and then the Book of Revelation. That was the mandate of that generation. They couldn't really do more than that because of these limitations that I spoke about. And this man gave us the Apostle Paul. Let's give Paul a clap offering. Hallelujah. You know, he's alive. It's not that he's not here. He's not just physically present with us here, but he's there. They're all, the Bible calls them the cloud of witnesses. You know, then the Lord was making it clear to me. I didn't say this before. I want to say it now, just before we continue the study. You know, that because the church has 3 days. When we say 3 days now, we're talking about 3 millennia. God, you know, Jesus himself said that. All that time he said it, people didn't understand what he said. He said, the third day I'll be perfected. In the second day of the church, this revelation, the first day of the church was to give us the revelation, which they did. In the first 100 years we had it. But it took another 300 years for them to put it together in what we call the canon of scripture. Because what they had before was they had scattered letters. Paul had his own letters, Peter had his own letters, James had, and different assemblies all over the Roman Empire had bits and pieces. They didn't have there was no complete New Testament. They had the Old Testament scriptures, but they didn't have the complete New Testament scriptures. It wasn't until about 300, 400 years later that they put it all together. So that was their work. The second millennium of the church, which would be from about 1000 AD to about 2000 AD, which is the time in which we're living, was to spread it, to take this revelation and then take it to all the earth. When we had the full Bible, and that's what God used Great Britain primarily and other countries to do through the missionary movements, particularly of the 1516, after the Reformation, you know, 1500, 1600, 1700, 1800, 1900. For example, we didn't get it. I'm talking about here in Africa. We really didn't get it until the late 1800s, early 1900s, where the Bible now was able, the revelation was able to go to all the earth. Now, the good news is this. The third millennium, which is our time now, is not, the first millennium was to get it from heaven and bring it to the earth, and they did it. The second one was to spread it around the whole earth. They did it. The third millennium is to now, you know, live it out. In other words, to experience it, to fulfill it. And that's what we are doing now in this generation. Our generation, this third millennium, this third day, 21st century, is to now fulfill all that revelation. The other two generations couldn't fulfill it. They brought it, they spread it, but it is our generation now that will be able to now fulfill it in its fullness and demonstrate it to all the earth. And so our study of God's word is very, very, very important. First thing is to get to know it. Second is to have a revelation of it. Then third is to allow it to give you a transformation by experiencing it. That is, it becomes a reality in your experience and it transforms you into the fullness of Christ. So this great man, God made him great, was giving thanks because this work they did was tremendous to give us this revelation. And so God the Holy Spirit used Paul to thank all the team. It was a teamwork, you know, all the support team that was around him that enabled him to do this work, this great work. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verse 13, where he was saluting a fellow called Rufus, chosen of the Lord. And I like the way Paul puts it, and his mother and mine. So this guy had his mother, and Paul also called her his mom. You know, and this is a fulfillment of Mark chapter 10, verse 30. Says that whatever you give up in this lifetime, you receive a hundredfold, which includes mothers, you know, and brothers and sisters. And I brought this out in our last lesson that, you know, it's very significant. It is very significant, brethren, that we do not have the name of Paul's parents. Is that an omission? God just didn't put their name inside this, allow their name to put inside the canon of scripture. Now, I'm speculating here. I don't know this for a fact, but it is clear to me that they probably did not accept Paul's ministry and the fact that he was called of God. Because you must understand, Paul was Jewish and he grew up, you know, it was a tribe of Benjamin. He grew up as a Pharisee. Probably that's inherited from his dad, you know, and his parents. They were very proud of him. He was a doctor of the law. And then he suddenly gives up all this and begins to follow this dead carpenter. And there's a ragtag. That's how they would see it, you know. Bunch of people, you know, the Nazarene, you know, and they felt very disappointed. You know, obviously they didn't, you know, they were not very impressed. He even had a sister. There was even an opportunity in the Acts of the Apostles for us to get his sister's name. Even then, the Holy Spirit suppressed it. He just said his sister's son, and that's it. And here, that where all that becomes significant is that you now see him spending a whole chapter mentioning names in detail. And in other places, you just see him like he's just silent. I believe there's a reason for it. You know, and it should be a lesson to us in our generation. You know, go with God, folks. Flow with God. Because what you do or do not do, particularly to God's servants, can many times have an effect on your destiny. And that's why Jesus said this in one place. He said that, you know, if you give a cup of water to a disciple, say you will in no wise, or to a prophet, say you will in no wise lose your reward. Your attitude, look at Paul's sister's son was mentioned, although his name was not mentioned. But at least he was mentioned because he was an instrument that God used to warn the centurion that they were planning to kill Paul. So his name entered the canon. But his mom's name did not enter. Simply because of his attitude. And how he... So obviously, even if his mommy and his grandparents, you know, didn't, you know, speak well of Paul, that boy must have had some type of attachment to Paul as his uncle. So when he heard that they were planning to kill him, he quickly went into the palace to go and tell the Roman centurion what was happening, and God used it to save Paul's life. You know, so I am saying that all these things, names, they're not insignificant. God does not waste. The Bible is God's word. For him to spend a whole chapter thanking people tells you, you know, the high priority he puts on appreciation and thanksgiving and service. So Paul calls Rufus's mom, his mom, even though it was not his biological mom, but it was his mom. You know, just like here in our church now, we call people like, you know, Papa, Fima, Mama, Fima, Mom, because of how they served God and how they supported us in the ministry. So these things are very, very significant. Now, verse 14, salute Asyncritus. I didn't hear you. Phlegon. I didn't hear you, folks. Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. All these are Romans, and their names mean different things. I'm not going to go into all of them. But so they're, most of them are Roman names and even names of Greek and Roman gods. They didn't change their names. God let them keep those names, and put them there, verse 15, salute Philologus. I didn't hear you. And Julia, I'll just take one or two of them. Like, for example, if you look at the name Julia, you know what it means? It means soft-haired. These are the things the Romans, because, the Roman Empire, they had the deities and from the Greek mythology. So they named their children, some of these exotic names. Neros and his sister and Olympus. That's where we get, the Olympic Games from. Let me just give you the meaning of that. Olympus means heavenly. That's what it means. The Greek. That's where we get the Olympic Games and all that from. But it was, these were names that were given, from Greek philosophy, Greek mythology, and Roman culture. But God, God doesn't really care. What he cares about is the heart of the person. These people served Paul, and they served God. So God honored them. Olympus, hello, somebody. I don't say you should go and name your child Olympus, but it's okay. It means heavenly anyway, so if you want, you can. And all the saints which are with them, salute one another with a holy kiss. This is not a literal kiss. It just means affectionate. It just means the French, for example, today do that. French people, is not so much in our own English culture, but if you go to France, they'll kiss you on, it's not a literal kiss, they'll just, pat you one left and one on the right. So it's that kind of a thing. It just means affection. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, verses 17 and 18 are very important. I'm going to take a little bit of time on those. It says, now I beseech you, brethren. I didn't hear you. Mark them. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not Pastor Lupio. This is the Holy Spirit through Paul. Mark them, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. This is an instruction. Well, people are not doing the word of God as they should, contrary. The Bible says avoid them. It doesn't say they are not your brethren. It doesn't say hate them. It doesn't say fight them. It says avoid them. Why? They will contaminate you. They will contaminate you. The Bible says evil communication corrupts what? Avoid. And I've said this over the years. People think maybe I'm trying to be, exclusive, or I don't believe in unity. No. I'm doing what the Bible says. He says, avoid them. Notice that they are brethren. He said they cause division. They cause offense contrary to the doctrine. The word doctrine just means teaching. I say avoid them. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't pray for them. I put it in my notes here. Love and pray for them from a distance. I didn't hear you. Thank you, Pastor Abraham. Everybody say love and pray for them, but from a distance, avoid them. You're not supposed to be going in and out with them. You're not supposed to be. Because if you do, they will contaminate you. The Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. It's very, very important. And Paul tells you how to recognize people. And you know, honey, if you look at this scripture, you would think Paul was writing about today. Well, he was, because he was writing prophetically to the whole church. You know what he says? For they that are such, I didn't hear you, serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Sound familiar? And by good words and fair speeches, deceive the hearts of the what? Brother, you're back here. You know, he'll be greeting us, you know, later on. You know, we went to see him and Chief Obaki and Mrs. Obaki yesterday. You know, and, you know, we were talking about this problem in the church. Look at this scripture. He said, by good words and fair speeches. He said, they serve their own belly. You know, it's so common in the church today. People are in this thing, a lot of people, not everybody, you know, for what they can gain materially and what they can gain financially. So they now use good words, you know, and flattering speech. This is what the Amplified says. Ingratiating, you know, they would tell you all kinds of highfalutin things, you know, just to, but it's only the people who stay simple that are deceived. And to remain simple is really a sin. Because God wants you to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So you will not be simple. I didn't hear you. So you will not be easily deceived. Thank you, darling. He says, for such persons do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. I like this. And base desires. You know, I don't want to mention any names, and I will not. You know, people will tell you something like, you know, you know, you will really gain a lot, you know, by doing this. You know, they were telling years ago, telling you, you know, become a pastor. So I said, no, God didn't tell me to become a pastor. There's a, you know, the person told him, you don't know what you are going to lose. You know, see how many people will bless you. Can you imagine? It's a true story. Ingratiating and flattering speech, and they beguile the hearts of the unsuspecting and simple-minded people. That's why I say you should avoid them. So don't go to their convention. Hello? You can't say amen, say oh me. It doesn't mean you shouldn't love them, and doesn't mean you shouldn't pray for them. But it means that you don't want anything that can, you know, flow into you. You know, there's something in biology. Ms. Zaino can help us with this. It's called osmosis. Maybe you've heard of osmosis. If you did any biology at any level, basically this is it. If you have, maybe you have you have two fluids. One is at a higher level of concentration than the other. Then you put a semi permeable membrane in between them. What's going to happen is that what is inside the first one will flow into the second one, and it will reduce the concentration. Spiritually, the same thing happens. If you stay close, spiritually speaking, and it works, you know, positively and negatively. If you stay close to people who are of a higher spiritual concentration than you, it's going to affect you positively. But if you stay close to people who have a lower spiritual concentration, it's going to affect you negatively. So God, turn to your neighbor, say, God knows about osmosis. And he made it incidentally. Praise the Lord. And he knows that there's also spiritual osmosis. So he tells you up front, say, avoid them. He didn't say hate them. He didn't say talk evil about them. He didn't say backbite. He said avoid them. So that what is inside them will not affect you negatively. And he gives you the marker. He gives you how to know. Let me say it in a simple, very concise way. Anything that is doctrine or people, you know, who are emphasizing a self-centered, materialistic gospel, these are the people. They serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own. And they use good words and flat to deceive the hearts of the simple. It's amazing how accurate the scripture is, Pastor Wega. How accurate the scripture is. You know, if you look at what is happening today, you know, it's bang on target. And you know the sad thing? A great majority of the church fall into this today. It's sad, but it's true. A lot of people, a lot of places, that's what they're about. You know, everything is, I like the way Kelly Verner said it. It's man-centered, it's need-oriented, and it's entertainment-based. They serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Now, such people, they're brethren, oh, I didn't say they're not brethren. They're Christians, but the Bible says, avoid them. And I'm adding, you know, based on scripture too, the Bible says, love your enemies, how much more your brethren. You know, pray for them. And some of them will change. Some of them may not change, but don't let them contaminate you. And don't think, and this is a big mistake, and it's your spiritual pride that will get you into this. Don't think you are so strong, they can't affect you. Oh, no, man, I know better than that. No, you know, I'm just going to I'll go there and I'll try and help them. In trying to help them, they may drag you down. You are not as strong as you think you are. If God says avoid them, avoid them. Now, I'm going to emphasize again, I didn't say hate them. I didn't say don't talk to them. I didn't say, you know, I'm saying do not have close fellowship and intimacy with them. You know, but where you can't avoid it. You know, sometimes you have to see them and all that. Greet them well, be nice to them, pray for them, and that's it. I said, that's it. Hallelujah. People are looking at me funny. Amen. Division, offense, contrary to the doctrine, covetousness. Covetousness, materialistic. Covetous, materialistic kind of gospel, you know, and then good words and fair speeches. You know, you hear a lot of stuff today. How many people have heard of motivational message? Someone say, is it wrong? That's a good question. Let me answer that question the way Jesus answered it in his own time. He said, the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, they sit in Moses' seat. He said, whatever they tell you that is in line with what Moses has said, he said, do it. He said, but don't do after their works. Then he didn't stop there. He said, you tithe anise, cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. That's how the deception comes. See, the deception of today is not an obvious kind of deception. They won't say anything contrary to the Bible. They will affirm the virgin birth. They will affirm Jesus died for our sins. They will affirm God heals us today. They will affirm God prospers us today. They will affirm that God, you know, delivers us today. All that is wrong, is good. But then there are some other things they will not say anything about. They omit the weightier matters of the law. So somebody comes to you with a motivational message of, I'm sure you've heard this before, 10 steps to causing your business to become more prosperous. Have you heard that before? And it may not be wrong. The problem with it is, where is the Lord Jesus Christ in the 10 steps? How, in doing those 10 steps, is it going to make you more spiritual? That's the problem. They omit the weightier matters of the law. That's what the Bible means when it says good speeches, fair words, everything sounds okay. And if you are simple-hearted, it will deceive you. Because you will think that those are the things that are important. The Bible says they are not the weightier matters of the law. And I ain't wrong. Let me tell you something. Rashi and I were sharing this yesterday. You know, the church is not McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's not a franchise. You don't run the church like you run a business. It's a spiritual organism. I don't know if you're listening to me. Now, you want to bring business principles into the church. And there's a place for the application of that. Don't misunderstand me. But, you know, when you run a business, you're running a business. But when you're running the church is a spiritual organization. So you just cannot import all those business principles and come and apply them in the church as if you're running a franchise like McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken. So when you now have a business seminar and you teach them on 10 steps on how to, you know, make your McDonald's or your Kentucky Fried Chicken business improve, which may be true in the business world and all of that, to people who are not even born again. You cannot now bring that into the church and teach the people in the church and not give them the spiritual conditions and commitments that they have to make. When you do that, you're doing this thing. You're deceiving the hearts of the simple with good words and fair speeches. And the whole purpose at the end of the day is the belly. It's what they're going to eat. How they're going to get more materially and financially. And incidentally, you know, as God would have it, God in his wisdom, I was reading my personal Bible reading today. You know what Jesus said? He said, your father knows you have need of these things. God cares. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to receive. Your father knows you have need of these things. Then it gives you the kingdom modus operandi of getting it. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then he guarantees you that all these things will be added unto you. Now, if somebody wants to tell you how to get the things, but he does not tell you how to seek the kingdom, he falls into this category. He falls into this category of serving their own belly with good words and fair speeches to deceive the hearts of the simple. It's a very fine, subtle line. Because the things they are saying are not wrong. It's just that they're not telling you everything. And that's where the deception comes in. Omitting the weightier matters of the law, you know, and you know what the Bible says? I'll go repeat it again and I'll leave the topic. It says, avoid them. That's why I've taken time to break it down. So you can, when you see it, you recognize it and you say, avoid them. Avoid them. Avoid them. Love them, pray for them, but avoid them. So that they do not water down the quality of your Christianity and rob you of your destiny. I'll be talking more about that in my main message later on. Verse 19. For your obedience, I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you, folks. Is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. I like this man. Yet I would have you wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning the evil. What a word. Give the Apostle Paul another clap offering. You know, Paul's not dead. It's just that he's in heaven, but he's not here anymore. What's Paul saying here? He said, the Romans, the Roman church, the church in Rome at that time, that's what we mean, you know, they were doing very, very well. And their obedience had gone round, the news, you know, the report, their good report had gone round the churches, you know, in the rest of the Roman Empire. It says, come abroad. And he said, I'm very happy about this. You must understand, I'm going to talk about this during my main message later on when I'm talking about, you know, discipleship and all that. You know, you must understand that Paul never got to these people physically until later. He'd never gone there. He actually discipled them remotely because he wasn't there physically with them. And the reports he was getting were very positive about how good they, you know, their faith and how, you know, their obedience to the things of God. Now, he now said, he now gave them, it's in the same line, in the same thinking, in the same thought pattern that we have in verses 17 and 18. We're talking about avoiding, you know, about deception, you know, about fair speeches and good words. He said, I want you to be wise when it comes to good things, but I want you to be simple when it comes to evil things. Let me say it, I'm going to say the same thing in another way the Lord Jesus said it. You know what Jesus said? He said, be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. The same thing, different words, but the same thing. I like this. Look at the Message Bible. It says, so while there's been every question about your honesty in these matters, I couldn't be more proud of you. That's the same thought. But I also want you to be smart, making sure every good thing, I like this, is the real thing. Give the Lord a clap offering. Same thought. Every good thing is the real thing. Don't be gullible in regard to what? Smooth talking evil. You would have thought this man was around today. Smooth talking. In the world, there's what is known as a con man. Everybody doesn't know what a con man is. In Nigeria, say 419. You know, you have spiritual 419. They speak nice talk. But if you are wise, immediately you get it. And then you will avoid it. And so he says, I want you to be wise concerning what is good, but simple concerning what is evil. Let me take a little bit of a journey from here, you know, because sadly and very regrettably, a lot of Christians are very simple. That word simple is not a, it means, you know, unwise. Let me say it nicely. You could use some other descriptions which are not so flattering, you know, and unwise in so many areas. But I want to zero in on one area here because of what Paul has said here, you know, to be wise concerning what is good and simple concerning evil. You know, Satan and all his crowd, the principalities and the powers, you know, wicked spirits in the heavenly places, and witches. How many people know they are witches? Wizards? Witch doctors? It's foolishness for a Christian to say, oh, I don't believe in all of that. You are living, you know, in a world of fantasy. I remember when I was a young man, I got born again in Cross River State. I finished at 19, so I was 20. And I got born again towards the end of my youth group. But when I first got there, you know, I came with all this, Oibo, you know, European mentality. Oh, I don't believe in this. Oh, all that is just. So when I got there, you know, and in discussing with some people and all of that, you know, they said, oh, there's a, oh, I said, I don't believe in all of that. They laughed. This stupid boy from Lagos. They laughed into my face. And then you're talking grammar.
They told me, they said, Mami Water is real. Later I became a Christian and then understood that those things were really real. Then I was in a place called Ecom. It's still there now. In fact, some brethren were here last week from Calabar, and they were telling me that the whole place has been transformed. They've built a new bridge and all of that. But when I was there, there was just one bridge, you know, when you're coming into Ecom, because there was a river there. So they now told me that when it was this company, RCC, the road construction company, they wanted to build that bridge. And the people told them, you cannot build this bridge if you don't make sacrifice. So the Oyibo man said, I don't believe in all of that. I said, leave him. Oh my God. Every time they bring it, the thing will crumble. Even one of the white engineers was telling me, he said, it's true. So they now went to go and call the village people. Now what do they need to do? They said, go and bring 7 cows. Yes. And when they now appeased the gods, then the bridge was built. And a Christian comes up and says, I don't believe in all of that. You are foolish. Now, I'm going to go to the other side. As born again, spirit-filled Christians, knowing the word of God and having the power of the Holy Spirit. No, I wasn't a Christian at that time. And that bridge was built before I went there, you know. What you need to do is go to that place and say, every spirit that is not of God, I bind you. You will not be able to disturb the construction of this bridge. And say, you guys don't need to do nothing. So that's being wise. See, we're not like an ostrich that puts our head in the sand and is oblivious to what is going on around. But right on the other hand, we're not afraid of the devil. And now he can't do this. No. So Paul says, be wise and simple concerning evil. You know, I always tell Christians, I've said this for years and years and years, you know, I don't have any business with the devil and his people. I don't want to know about, you know, the occult and Ouija board. I know about them, don't misunderstand me. But I'm not interested in the details. And as a Christian, you're not supposed to poke your nose into all of those things. Do you understand? They mutter, you know. There's a name for it. I've forgotten it now. Incantation, thank you. They do incantation. All those things are real. I'm not interested in knowing what they are saying in their incantation. That God says, don't get yourself involved in all of that. Just say the incantation will not work in Jesus' name. End of story. Are you listening to me? So you need to be aware of evil, of Satan, and what they do. But you do not need to know the detail. And you know, some silly Christians, you know, they want to find out, oh, what did the devil say? You know, he put one stone underwear somewhere. Then he told you to go, you know, that he's an abiku or an obanje. You know, that's what they call it in the Igbo. You know, the obanje, you know, these people who, they die and then the devil mutilates the body and then the child is born again 10, 5, 15 times. Then, you know, when they're trying to do deliverance, the thing will say, oh, the stone that they gave me, I put it under one Iroko tree. Then he will take the, oh God, the devil, you know, take them to the one place and just run rings around them. I don't need to do all of that. All I just need to know is that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and I paralyze, I neutralize all the forces of the devil in this something. I don't care where you put the stone, whether you put it under an Iroko tree, whether you put it inside one river somewhere, it's not relevant. What is relevant is the fact that the forces that are behind it will no longer operate in your life in Jesus' name. Is this clear? Is this clear? So don't start getting involved in the devil and finding out what they did and what. It's not necessary. What you need to know is the power that is in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. That you need to know. And that's what you need to enforce. Are you listening to me? You know, so it's very, what I'm saying is very, very important. Be wise concerning and simple concerning evil. I know there's evil, but I'm not, you know, I don't need to delve into the details in order to be able to arrest it. Is this clear? Very, very important. I'm remembering a story, you know, God will help me. You know, it was Lester Sumrall. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Great man of God. You know, and as a young man, he was in mission work. And he used to go to Asia, India, and all these different places. So, he tells this story. I actually heard him say it with his own mouth. It was in Tulsa. I went to Tulsa twice. You know, I went in 1980, then I went again in 1981. 1981 was when I spent like 2 months there. You know, and I was going to Kenneth Hagin's Bible school, even though I was not a student. But the guys I was staying with, their son was my age. I stayed with him in an apartment they got somewhere in town. And then from there, we used to go to Rhema every day. So on one of the times, Lester Sumrall was invited by Kenneth Hagin to come and teach, you know, in one of the evening sessions. I still remember it, you know, like yesterday. And Lester Sumrall, you know, was telling us about the devil and all of these things. And this same thing I'm telling you now was what Lester Sumrall said. He said, you don't need to know. You don't need to start talking to the devil. You know, particularly when you people do deliverance here in Nigeria. You see them talking to the devil and wanting to know what the devil. You don't need all that. It's because you don't know who you are. So, Lester Sumrall tells this story. There are many, but this particular one I remember. He said he was in, I don't remember, you know, India or Indonesia, somewhere anyway, somewhere in the East, you know. And he was in a place, you know, went to preach and all of that. So he went to bed at night to sleep. And he woke up in the middle of the night and his bed was levitating. The bed went off the ground. You know, and he was inside the bed. Now, you know, if it's many of our people today. You know what I said? He said, Satan, put that bed down now in Jesus' name. I said, he just turned and went back to sleep. The bed went back down. Give the Lord a clap offering. That is the kind of thing I'm talking about. It's not how people want to find out, you know, why did he levitate? You know, start talking to the devil. Devil, what did you do? That's not necessary. Put the bed down in Jesus' name. End of story. And the bed came down. And he woke up the next morning, no problem. But you know, if you don't know who you are, they that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You know, I can tell you story after story after story, but I don't have the time. You know, I've learned and I'm still learning, you know, use the name of Jesus, use the authority that is inside God's word, but don't get entangled in the things that Satan does. That's why it says, be wise concerning what is good, but simple concerning what is evil. I don't need to know the incantation they are saying. I don't need to know. All that is not necessary for me to be able to bind them. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Okay. God help me. It says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan. I'm going to stop here. We'll finish it next week. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ shall be with you. This is a very great statement. And I'm going to look at some of the other translations. Why would
Why would Paul say this? If you look at some of the other translations, for example, the Amplified Bible says, and the God of peace will crush Satan, will soon crush Satan under your feet. Everybody say, crush. I didn't hear you. You didn't say it properly. Crush. The New International Versions, all of them say crush, crush, crush. You know, the old King James says bruise. What he's saying is this. Satan is already under our feet, positionally, for all Christians. But he has not been crushed by many of us. When you crush somebody, when you crush something, it means that it is no law. You have destroyed its power. It cannot, it's no longer a threat to you. Let me use that expression. Jesus said it another way. It was in Luke chapter 10, in verse 19. He says, I give you power to trample over all the power of the devil. Let's quickly look at that. I'm going to close on this. Luke chapter, am I talking to anybody here? Thank you, darling. Yeah. And it says, behold, I didn't hear you. I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over some of the power of the enemy. And everything shall hurt you. That's why Lester Sumrall could do what he did. He wasn't afraid. Because he knew this. I give you power. I didn't hear you. To tread on serpents and scorpions. That's just symbolic of the devil, principalities and powers. And over all the power of the enemy, and what? Nothing shall by any means hurt you. You don't need to be afraid. You know, when it's a Christian, when they hear about the devil, you know, they're afraid. You know, if they go somewhere and they see somebody do some kind of, you know, incantation, or they put something on the road or something, who are you? I'm not saying you should go and look for trouble, but if it comes to you, then it is the devil who is in trouble. Or they put something on your seat in your office. Take the thing, clear it off, pray and sit on it. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Stand to your feet. Nothing. It's because of a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Nothing. Don't go and start looking for the devil all over the whole place. Look for the devil under the table. Look for the devil under the... No. But when he comes to you, you let him know you know who you are in Christ. You bind it. You get rid of it. You know. I've said, you know, just... pray and then go and live normally. Don't be afraid. Oh, I can't sit on that. Why can't you sit on it? Is it not the chair God made? Take the thing, throw it out, pray, sanctify it, and then live on. It's as simple as that. Anything beyond that becomes, you know, you want to go and find out what the devil did, and you go and meet this one to look for this thing to neutralize it. You don't need all of that. That's what the people of the world do. You don't need that. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. God is so particular about thanksgiving. And he's thanking all these saints. And in closing, he begins to say, we should avoid those that cause division. Those who are self-centered, materialistic, who do things contrary to the word God,
simply because of what they're going to gain financially and materially. Say, avoid them. It doesn't say don't love them. Say, love your enemies. Avoid them, pray for them, but don't get close to them. So what is in them will not percolate down to you. Let's talk to God. Jesus, help me. Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you, Lord. Never let me.
Thank you for giving
go.
Me the right key.
Never let me go.
I lay it all down again. Hear you say that I'm your friend.
You are my desire.
You are
my desire.
No one else will do.
There's nothing else can take your place.
Nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth,
to feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find a way.
Bring me back to you.
Bring me back to you. Draw me close to you. Start again from the beginning. Hallelujah.
Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you.
Draw me close to you, Lord.
Never let me go.
Never, never, never let me go.
I lay it all down again.
To hear you
say that I'm your friend.
You're my heart's desire.
You are my desire.
Lord,
you are my desire. No one else will do.
Yes,
no one else will do.
Cause
nothing else can take your place.
To feel the warmth.
Hallelujah. Sing it.
To feel the warmth of your embrace.
Help me find a way.
Help me find a way.
Bring me back to you.
Bring me back to you.
You're all I want. Glory to God.
One hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God.
Say, Father, I thank you for your word.
that has put me into remembrance this morning. To learn to be grateful. To learn to be thankful. To serve you with all of my heart. And also to be as wise as a serpent, but as harmless as a dove. Heavenly Father, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to be wise concerning the things that are good and simple concerning the evil. And to use your power to bruise Satan, to crush him under my feet. I thank you for all you have done for us in Christ Jesus. And I covenant with you to continue to walk with you, to exercise the authority and the power that you've given me over all the power of the enemy. Give me wisdom and discernment, not to be simple-minded, but to be wise. Lord, to avoid covetousness, to avoid anything that is contrary, that will cause division and offense, contrary to your word. Oh God, help me not to be simple. Help me to be wise, so I will know how to avoid them, avoid such people, even though I will love and pray for them from a distance, but to avoid them so that my heart will not be contaminated and I will not lose spiritual ground. Oh God, oh God, have mercy on me and help me in Jesus' name. Pray in the spirit. Mercy, Father, celebriki tolomo shaliko to frenenga anto lek toloshke. Lord Jesus, epriketolo mashangitor. Lord Holy Spirit, thank you, Jelere, Renantus Kefrede, Lambraga Tuskefrenenga. Thank you for your blood, Jelika Kofredea, for your life, Jeninge, for your power, Nokotus Kefrenenga, Leprenea, Shoka, Rika Tolomangara, Lambra, in our souls, Lepritolo Moshara, in our bodies, Rino Tofreneka, in our circumstances, Ria Renindigida, Ayakatolo, Mambredere, in our regional heavenlies, Rimo Tusca Frede, Lambredela, Lombridikash, Zico, Remangara, Lombrige Clamatolo Mosha, Remo Sa, Nea Tusca Fre, Lukuno Ze Anta, in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a super clap offering.